Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Back to the Heart Conviction podcast on the Hopecast Network. I am your host, Nina Palmer. This episode, we are going to discuss the civil war, is what I'm going to call it, at hand, and the topic of not only Charlie Kirk, but us and our involvement and current topics. So before you get offended and before you feel that little in your heart immediately, hold on. I think I'm going to validate both sides. And I have some uncommon opinions on this. I might just surprise you. So stick around. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. And this episode, I'm going to go ahead and rate it for you. It's going to be current topics sprinkled with a little politics. I think it's unavoidable at this point. And we're going to talk about our involvement in it and God. Obviously, I don't know how we can get through this one without him. All right. Let's get into it. So before the hair on the back of your neck rises, I know our blood is boiling right now. Everybody is on edge so bad. Everyone is like ready to just rip everybody's eyeballs out. We're all like little tortured alley cats, like hissing at each other before we even begin. Like everyone's just freaking now. And I hear you. I feel I get a little cooked too. And I tried to record this episode now four times, did it all the way through yesterday, and something has went wrong. All of a sudden, the first time I went to record it, my whole screen just shut off, like kicked me out, shut off, went black. I knew something was wrong and I was not in the proper place to address it. That's what was wrong. I think something bigger was like, I'm bored of mission. Shut me out. That was it. Shut me down. And it's hard because we are all kind of going through these waves of emotions with this whole thing. It's layered, it's intricate, and there's lots of aspects to it. And there's lots of opinions coming from 10 million directions. And it's everywhere. The saturation speaks volumes. And I wore a suit today because I wanted to come respectful. I am in favor of honoring those who have passed. And I have been more prepared for this episode than any episode I've recorded yet. And I have recorded more than just the 3 episodes. So welcome to episode 3. We are only the 3rd one in. And topics are hot. I considered not talking about it because there was a part of me that was like, do we need one more voice contributing to the absolute rioting of opinions right now? Do we even need it? And then there was a part of me that was like, but talking about it is important. And if there's one quote that I love the most, also to scripture, from CK, it's that he said, where we have went wrong is we are fearful of having hard conversations. He said, it is critical that we talk through the things that are the matters of our heart. I believe in that more than anything. I get accused all the time of being confrontational or overly confrontational. No, Communication is the key to restoration. And I believe in that. And I'm also in the field of humans. I love humans. I love all humans. I love humans I don't even like. I love humans. And I am really trying to come from a position where is everybody's motive in this? Where is the heart in this? I'm not interested in real ugly debates. Not there. But I am very aware. My senses are very alert to what is happening big picture. And I kind of invite you to kind of come into that headspace where kind of get this weird, surfacey, mucky social media stuff kind of out the way. And there's a lot at hand. And we can't discredit it by minimalizing it. But before I do any of that, let me say this. Before we even discuss an opinion, before I tell you where I stand, before I validate your opinion, above all, I would ask that when you speak about this, that you show the empathy within your heart for somebody who lost their life. As humans, we have to break for those who are suffering. And you can believe whatever you want to believe. I love a good discussion. I love when somebody makes a good point. I like when somebody leaves me speechless. But before you do that, I ask that you would really reevaluate the source of your heart. Your opinions matter. I care about your opinions. I care about opinions on both sides, but I want to lead a different approach. And I would ask that when you start this conversation, whether it be online, in person, in debate, in any direction, I ask that you show the tender parts of your heart and that you acknowledge that there was a brutal and gruesome murder. I mean, it looked like a scene out of Kill Bill. We saw that man's soul leave his body in that image or in that video, and his daughter watched that. And so while you can have passionate soul opinions and stances against him or for him, I ask that you do not say all your opinions and then go, but of course that murder is terrible. I ask that you do not side with the side of murder. I ask that you take a stance where you say, first and foremost, I am devastated for those children who now will not have a father. And I am sure he was very good to his wife, and my heart is broken for her. Now, with that being said, take that lead. I'm going to present that you lead with a compassionate lead, that you put humanity first. You put it before anything else, because that's what we have to do. The second that we stop caring when humans are suffering, that shows the real, true foundation of our heart. So allow me to just run through this first out of true respect for the deceased. I hold great reverence for those who have died, and that matters. So let me say this. Let me begin. All right. I believe I have some really practical ways to handle all this, and I have some uncommon opinions, like I said, but let me just go through this first to show our respects to those who are deceased. I want to be respectful. That's why I came dressed proper for the recording of this. And let's just say this. Now, I think we can all find commonality that we empathize with fatherless children. And the very last thing our society needed was more children to be raised without a father. So I say this because I'm constantly envisioning his wife and his kids navigating these savage, unsparing, and violently hopeless days. Losing a loved one is already heinous, but losing the father of your kids, I believe to be the most catastrophic despair that one can feel. It's already hard enough to lose a parent as an adult. But as a child, it's almost impossible to navigate. Now, hear me when I say you can hold any opinion in any direction in any aspect of this. However, please don't ever be so heartless and so jaded that you would even hold any parallel of anything that would even remotely look like a start to anything to come out of your lips in this topic before you give respect to those who were left hurting after this. Can you imagine them trying to tell that little 3-year-old daughter about her dad not coming home anymore, and how the little gears in her mind have to turn to try to figure out what's happened and where he went? I don't want to call you names, and I don't want to speak from an ugly place, but we have to constantly be in a position where we are able to be taught, where we're teachable, and we're able to pivot the directions of our heart. We have to continually check our heart. I am constantly looking for opportunity to say, ooh, I've let some kind of bad air in there, some bad seeds in my heart. Let me clean that up. This is an area where we can clean that up. Before you feel heard, or you express your political views, or you want to talk about the irony in anything, or you have an agenda, please, to his beautiful wife and his sweet, innocent children, please hold the respect and honor them before you speak on anything else. Okay, I've said that. Now we can move on. I think of them. I care about them. When I heard about it happening, I was with my husband and we were actually in church at a prayer set midweek, and we walked home just, it's all like a shock. It's so hard to digest this kind of stuff. The polarizing elements of life are way too much. It's like, you know, you got to go home and clean your toilets and then deal with the topic of death. Not to mention if you go through your own loss, it's too much to do it all. And then like think about work and continue on. And here we are dealing with these catastrophic events. But we went home and we sat in our living room and we just prayed. We just prayed out loud. I sat on the floor, my husband sat on the couch, and we just came to God and we said, Lord, what is going on here? Please send supernatural comfort to that wife right now. The beginning shocks of finding out that somebody you love so dearly, it's almost too much to get through. I've had my own experiences with death, and those first couple weeks are like nightmare land. Not to mention, this is such an elevated scenario with so many different compartments. So let's all at least agree on there. I even understand if you truly believe that his message was disruptive or wrong or all the titles we love to toss. Even if you think that, I ask that you still do not side on the side of murder. I mean, come on. It was murder. It was murder. Like, it was, did you see the actual video of it with the projectile blood and chunks squirting out of his neck? And that happened in front of his daughter. And you're sitting here like, well, ugly. I ask that you tune the change of your heart in that regard. I ask that that become something that you are not so numb to. We are such a crime obsessed society. We love gory details. We love being vindicated. We will cheer for the fall of somebody. Shame on us. And I will not talk to you this stern very often. Okay, I take that back. I probably will. Never mind. I probably will talk stern to you about a lot of things. But I mean, really think about it. Really think about what you're co-signing for. I ask that you lead your conversations a little bit differently. And I will leave that aspect of it there. I don't think that we can talk about this subject without talking about how we are very divided right now. You cannot open anything, click on anything, look at anything, do anything without seeing it. Clips, topics, controversies, people getting different hands because of it, right? Cancellations, promotions. It's just every aspect of it is everywhere. And so it's unavoidable at this point. You can sense the tension between people over it. Can't you feel when you walk into a new setting? Can't you feel everybody like wanting to bring up the inevitable? How uncomfortable for all of us. We are sensing the thickness of division. We're at war with each other. We are at pure war with each other, and we don't care who we offend in the middle of it. We don't care. We're willing to cut people off, delete them, block them, not talk to them, lose a friendship. Let me tell you something. I am not on that team. No. I'm not on the team of murder. I'm not on the team of even kind of co-signing for it or vindicating it or justifying it. No. Nope, nothing to do with that. Now, I can handle a little bit of division. That's for sure. Listen, why are we shocked that we're divided over a topic? I mean, we're humans. This is what we do. We are always in division with each other. We are constantly at turmoil with people. I'm not shocked by division ever. Now, I find it hurtful when it's with Christians or people that claim Christianity amongst Christians. Y'all, we're supposed to be way better at it than this. We are. I've been only sad at seeing the way some Christians are speaking amidst this and speaking with other people and just being ugly and nasty and kind of being influenced by what I believe to be the other side. As Christians, when we believe in a foundational doctrine of what we believe in is out of forgiveness and repentance and redemption, then we have to act on that. Then we have to offer that at all times. And we have to really take the law of loving somebody as much as yourself before yourself. We have to take it serious. And as much as I want to pass and I want somebody to stand up for me when I'm wrong. I would pray that you would do that right now for your brother and sister too. There is not a opinion right now. There's not one, really, in general as a whole, ever in life. But right now, there is not a thing that you could say that would make me act ugly, make me not love you, delete, block. I'm grown. I'm not deleting. I'm like an adult. I'm not out here deleting people. You've never seen fingers fly quicker than how fast I can scroll past something I don't want to read. Carry on. Love you. Mean it. I think you lost your mind a little bit, but I love you. I think you got influenced by edited, chopped and screwed clips, but I love you. Yeah. Can't wait to see you post pictures of your cat next week. Can't wait till we get back to that. Christians, you have a higher calling in this. You do. You have a higher calling in this. You need to be respectful. Don't be ugly. Okay. Listen, our Facebook posts are not profound. They're not sacred. It's like, ooh, here I go. I'm getting ready. They're not press releases. Like, mic drop. No, just stop being fazed by it. Stop coming into your Facebook post thinking that you just changed the narrative of the scenario. You didn't. The way there is not a Facebook post in this planet that can faze me, I'm telling you, not one. You could talk about every belief in the planet that, I mean, if you talk about my mama, that might be like a little issue and that's about it. Like, that's it. You know, it just isn't. And I'm not here to be ugly to each other and cut back and forth. Now, you want to have a real discussion? Always, I can show up for that. So that's where you use facts, points, you listen, you want to maybe learn, and you hear somebody out, and you use fair, structured conversation, and you're able to stay on topic. But I don't see a ton of that. I don't see a ton of that. So don't feel like you have to sit there and calculate, you know, some big, profound thing. You don't. It doesn't even actually matter. You know how many Facebook posts I've read right now or anything, even people that got like a little bit of a following, making like a TikTok and stuff. Okay, putting out an opinion. And what? You know, congratulations. We're humans. We are divided. We're humans. That's what we do. We fight. If you have turmoil within somebody within your blood, in your family right now, like your kin, if you got an issue and an argument with them right now, do not be shocked that we're going to have division as a whole of a country over social and moral issues. I'm not shocked by sin. I'm not offended at people that I think take wrong stances. And we got to just know that this is what we do and handle it with real grace and the fruit of the spirit of gentleness. I am trying very hard to take my big, you know, loud ratchet self and tap into a little morsel of gentleness throughout all this. Truly, I'm trying. And it's not easy because, you know, this mouth is dying to pop. This little mouth can rip and roar. I can outtalk the best of them. But I want to carry this out in grace because that is a notch in contribution to the side of good. It is. It has to be. So I go to record this podcast and everything in its power is stopping me. Everything. And did you notice even, I think this is going to get hit home for a couple other people. The week leading up to this occurrence, so last Tuesday, and the week after something has been chaos, like in the realm of everything. I was getting the strangest correspondence from some of my best clients, like things that didn't even make sense. Like, I'm like, did you mean to send this to me? Like, wait, did you mean to send that to me? Because what are you talking about? And just having to clear up tons of confusion, people acting out of character, just chaos, pure chaos. Even I volunteer with kids in our neighborhood and they're usually just like incredible. Even this week, it was like something was different in the room. They were all upset with each other, getting hurt, crying. At one point, they were all crying in different areas. And I was like, there is something at hand. I had a brother in Christ, just him and I had a really good, substantial, meaningful conversation this week. We left on such a good note and then just sent me like the ugliest text messages afterwards that you can think. And I was like, what is going on? I know what's going on. The enemy is at work right now. And this is political. Yes. I don't like when people say it's not. It is. It is social. There's a moral complexity in this. There's a lot happening right now. And we could even tap into like the government stuff and the conspiracy of it all. I mean, you could really spend time on this and you could get very, very, very seriously invested really quick and go down
a million bunny trails. And I'm not here to say maybe you shouldn't. I think you need to use caution and be wise. But there's a lot at hand here. But I am clinging to the message of what's happening right now. And I felt it from the first day. If you have any kind of spiritual discernment, which is a sign of spiritual maturity in Christ, if you have anything, this is a battle for good and evil right now. Good and evil. No matter what you even think is good or evil. But this is a battle versus good and evil. And I can feel it. That's why we're all so upset. That's why there's so much division. That's the fruit of war, the fruit of good and evil. That's what it is. And what I hate the most about that, it's the kick. What I hate the most about that, the kicker in all this, is there's potential. And we don't have to get real deep into this because I don't want you to label me as some big, huge conspiracy theorist. But I mean, you can if you want. But there's some complexity here about what's going on and inconsistencies with the government, what's being said. I mean, watch it. It's bizarro. Tune in to a couple different people right now and you're going to get some information. There's a lot at hand with the government with this too, right? And I have no doubt that there's, you know, some bad motives, as there always is. When you have humans and you have government, there's always shadiness. Okay, well, humans are running the government, so it's not good. You know what they love? They love when, rather than sniffing out what's going on, actually, they love when we just waste our time fighting with each other, fighting with our loved ones, fighting with people we know. They love that. Then that's when they can do all their dirty work to keep you distracted. It's like a magician, right? They're keeping you distracted with this left hand over here. And in their right hand, they're holding the cards and they're switching them around. I mean, that's what's happening. And so I won't waste my time doing it. Even today, I had a couple of people come at me. I made a really basic Facebook post and I had a couple of people come at me and I just had to comment really like basically. And I just responded like this. I said, look, to all the comments, I won't cut on anyone. I won't call you names and I will not try to degrade somebody. That is not who I am. That is not in my character. And I don't live in offense. I don't function out of offense. That is not the well that I drink from. So that won't be me. I said, not my style. I'd rather ask questions like why you feel what you feel. I'd rather stay on topic and find some common ground. And on a good day, I might make you think. My days are really busy and I only have time right now to take in a little bit of this and like find some things that edify me. Feeling right isn't potentially worth hurting a human or really somebody I care about. I care about you guys. And if you're looking for slanderous back and forth, I am not your girl. I also don't feel like I need to defend myself against things that aren't true. Never have. And that's not me being sanctimonious. It's how I feel. And that's what I try to act out of. Now, catch me on a bad day and you'll be like, okay, I see the real you, but I'm trying to walk this out. I encourage you to not take a spirit of offense in this. The spirit of offense is a sign of a spirit that is not well stabilized and it's not stable in something. And I don't want anything to do with offense. I am freed from offense. I have been delivered of offense. I've been delivered of generational offense over my family. Meet a European. A European loves to hang on to offense on like most people I've ever met in my life. I've been freed from that. I want no part in it. It is a tactic of the enemy to rob and steal you from relationship, connection, and unity, which is the most important, which is so strong and so serious. There are scripture verses that say that. I will run from that. Let me read this to you. Jesus warns us that a house divided against himself cannot stand. That's in Matthew. And then Paul will talk about how to avoid division. It's confusion and it's you need to preserve unity of the spirit and that God has made things designed for peace. If we just follow the directions of the Bible when it comes to offense, we would be doing so much better. And I speak that to everybody, but I really speak it to the Christians. I do. If somebody seeks restoration, I would be real careful to turn it down. It is up to you to initiate the restoration. But if they do it, follow through with it. That's what we do. You bring healing to them. You bring healing to you. That's healing as a whole. And then we're able to function better as a body of Christ. I question the integrity of your heart when you turn down restoration. I don't want division between people. I don't need it to be right. So I encourage you to leave the mindset of offense. I am rarely offended. I do not get that confused with speaking truth over a situation or taking a stance. I do think it's important to take stances. It is something that we have to do, especially in the face of evil, but don't let it turn into offense and leave it there of, I know we talked about this. I know this is hard. I know we're sorting through some things, but I love you. I want connection with you. And that matters to me. Do not let yourself, I give it as a warning to your heart and to your household in this. Do not let your heart take a place of offense. As a matter of fact, run from it. Run in the other direction. Offense will secretly and blindly rob you over and over and over again, even when we're talking about really important things. It will. Don't be ugly. Don't talk ugly to people. You guys, don't talk ugly to people in this, even if they're saying the ugliest thing. No. You don't need to talk bad about people. You don't need to call them anything. Do not title toss. Would y'all please stop throwing titles on people because you think that it helps you win a conversation? It doesn't. It's low-hanging fruit and it's cheap. I would rather you challenge what they think, ask questions, very similar to a great debater that I could think of right now. I don't know if one comes to mind. Ask some questions. Don't let this make you ugly. You guys, be nice. Be nice to each other. You can handle somebody believing different. You can handle it. And that goes to everybody. That goes to the people that I agree with and people I don't agree with. I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see us hurting each other because all it does is it furthers this more. I don't think anybody's really after unity at all. I think they're after rebellion. I think they're after feeling right. And they really just want to hear themselves feel heard. That's it. I really think that's what we're after. I would rather you, in light of it, say, where can we find some common ground here? And do we not see this pool of good and evil? This is a war of good and evil. Look at the fruit of it. Look at the fruit of what's going on. When you feel that ucky, yucky, mucky spirit over all of this, that heaviness, don't think it's just us running our lips. No, something bigger, much bigger is happening. The Bible says that we don't wrestle with flesh and with blood, but with powers and principalities, meaning there is constant war going on over us, big picture. With everything that's going on, I was already devastated knowing that that sweet girl, what's her name? Irene, I believe, or Irina, the Ukrainian girl that got stabbed on the train. That's devastating to watch that. And just watch evil just take over and manifest. And her, we're in wild times. Now, murder's been going on forever, but that's wild. I mean, I was heartbroken over that. But that's all in the same week of this like pure spiritual chaos. And if you are in tune with it, I know that you've also felt it. Okay, I want to read you my favorite Facebook post that I saw in this so far from my really good friend, Tanya. She said, let's take a moment to reflect before we speak or post for that matter, for it's in those moments of stillness that we can tap into the wisdom of our hearts and let our words be a reflection of the beauty within us. And then she quoted a scripture from Matthew. Isn't that good? Matthew 15:18 says, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And they defile them. It's hard. It's good. I also saw another interesting post that said, I just want to recognize that we are both coming from two different stances because it looks as though your feed is generating, which we know it does. It's generating this the side that you're on. And if you are in favor of his main focus and topics, then they kind of show you the good reels of it. If you are against him and his structure of beliefs, then it shows you these edited versions of things that are bad. And it's like, it's okay for you to say, hey, I hate this part, but I acknowledge this part. I do think that this was great how he did this, or even, you know, acknowledge something in him, but I think that he, you know, whatever, should have said this differently or better. I think he's all wrong in this. Charlie Kirk had topics I don't love. I didn't love his approach on education, if I'm being honest. There are parts of it that were good. I didn't love his stance on homeschooling. And there were a couple other things where I was like, you know, I think at times there was a sniff of arrogance too. You know, I get it. We can sit there and pick people to death. But you know what I love? Love that he was smart. I love that he was brave. I love that he was bold. I love that he professed the name of Jesus. I love that he defended those who can't defend themselves. And I love that he made people think, that he brought critical topics to the table. So why don't we honor those aspects of him? Why don't we honor that he practiced in his Second Amendment rights? That's a big deal. That matters. There are a lot of people that have agendas throughout all this. Be aware of that. I'm very cautious of everything I watch in this. Very cautious. And I think to myself, was this edited to look like this? Is there a narrative put over it? A lot of the things that are being quoted are partial statements, partial sentences in a big paragraph. Things are getting chopped and pieced together. We don't want that done to us, right? Like, if how many times have we had somebody say something that we said and retell a story and we're like, no. What I said first was this. That's not what I said. That's what's happening here. You can't take two sentences from a whole conversation out of context and then want to use that as your ammo. It doesn't work like that. So be careful what you cling to. Be careful to the narrative in this. That, and that's, you know, honestly, for both sides, be careful of what you take into this and careful what you subscribe to. We are constantly making commitments within our hearts to certain things and certain stances. And I ask that you be careful of that. I ask that you honor the things in somebody that needs to be honored and really come from a place of kindness and compassion. Have compassion over kids in this. If you had a good father, then you know how precious it is to lose a good father. And if you didn't have a good father, then you know even more of how precious that is. Lead with the sweet part of your heart in this. Okay. So I'm going to give you a couple ways that I think that you should handle this tactfully. Number one, have a conversation with yourself. Have I addressed anything wrong in this? Have I been nasty to somebody? Did I speak out? Did I not speak from the good parts of my heart? Did I speak ugly to somebody? Is there somebody that I care about that I lashed out on? Let me go repair that. Hey, this is how you do it. Hey, I acted ugly. I was being real human and I'm sorry. Care about you. Respect you. Understood. Just do it. Repair it. You know, you are some big bad, like I'm a, you know, keyboard warrior. Get better at making things right. Second thought that I think that you should give this is maybe cool off a little bit on the social media stuff. It's becoming a little toxic to all of us. Take a step back, take a break, take a breath, and maybe just start praying for our country. Maybe get into some thoughts of like, what do we really need? Three, know that you don't know it all. Okay. Everybody is like such a philosopher now. And a lot of people didn't even know his name before this. They didn't even know who he was. And now all of a sudden, he's like our enemy and we hate him and we're this like big philosopher of everything and we just like have all the answers. Look, the wisest men are people who still learn. So maybe calm down a little. If you didn't know who he was and if, you know, don't buy into the hype of it all. So maybe kind of like just check your heart and go, you know what? I came in real hot. And did I do that because of the environment? I felt like I had to. Just take a little itty bitty baby step back. You know, I understand that. And the last thing that I would say is look at big picture. Big picture. Should we be this divided? Is there potential that there's some government influence on this? Could it be that there's more at hand than what our eyes can see? That's one of the smartest things somebody can say is to say, I know there's things going on in this. There's aspects of this that I don't know about because you don't know it all. You don't know it all. And kind of take that stance. Now, I'm now going to speak to, as I said I would, and I'm going to do this delicately. I'm going to speak to the part of the conversation of saying that I've got to be careful how I say this. There are lots and lots of people, and you're even surprising me with how you talk, where you say you felt so against what he stood for that you saw him as dangerous to society. Now, I understand those feelings because in my ugliest of places, and I'm very careful to show my ugliest of places because people will pin you for it later down the road. As leaders and pastors and members of the body of Christ, I think we do need to be vulnerable in the areas that we struggle. And I don't think we should be penalizing each other constantly for saying, I've had these thoughts and feelings before. In my ugliest of places and my ugliest of hearts, I have had moments where I felt so strongly against certain leaders and politicians where I said things in the nature of, we would be better off if they weren't here. That's ugly. I mean, it is. It's ugly. And I think a lot of us do. We're not great at talking about the ugly parts of our heart. I understand that concept, essentially. I get where we get there. You feel like, well, if you're just damaging this society, then I can't mourn the ones who are personally at loss over you because we have to think big picture. I try to empathize with both sides. I would hope that I have grown intellectually enough to be able to look at people's perspective. I would hope. And I try to say, wow, even if a motive is really far from mine, I try to take a step back and go, okay, you're really standing firm on this. Why? Why would that be? And my dad taught that, the topic of hermeneutics, he taught that to me originally. He said, everybody comes from a place that is unique to them, from where they came from, how they were raised, what their home looked like, what their environment looked like, what city they grew up in, what state, what country, everything. What kind of school they went to, what kind of friends they had, what kind of support they had, what kind of disadvantages they had, what kind of everything contributes to what you are. And I take that into factor of every single person who gives an opinion. In most cases, if I have that amount of energy and time and mental capacity to give to it, I do. And I will think to myself, okay, let me really give this a good look, see of where they're coming from. And I try to do that. And if you believe that he was causing harm, if you believe that, I do see where you would lack empathy for the situation because you're saying, I care more about the big picture. Fine, but how dangerous to take the side of murder? How dangerous? And I would be real careful. That's murky territory when we start wishing harm on somebody to support our beliefs. That's sticky. And I think the Bible talks about being careful of this like spirit of murder quite often. And I think we kind of view that as a pie in the sky sin. Like it's like out of touch sin and it's too far. And it's like these big sins kind of right. Like murder, like, you know, people aren't like day to day struggling with that. I think we dabble in it more than we know. Have you ever heard people talk and they'll say things along the lines of like, go kill yourself when they're angry at somebody? That's dabbling in that spirit. It is. I know you don't actually mean it, but it smells like it. There's hints of it. Even when people will say things like, I just hope they die. I just wish they'd die. If you watch 60 Days In, there was a scene where somebody talked like that. She said, yeah, I called her name. You fat, ugly. I hope you die. That came from an ugly place within your heart, within your spirit that you wish ill on people that you don't agree with. That's ugly. That's in alignment with the spirit of murder. That's in company of it. It is. Have you ever wished bad on somebody? I've had people that I love dearly, some of the best people I know, say, hey, this person hurt me. Anybody, my whatever, this person who did me wrong, whatever, fill in the blank. And there was a time where I wished them dead. I understand that. In my ugliest of times, when I felt like I deserved empathy for certain situations, in death, when I was experiencing my own loss in my own life and I felt like there were people that I wanted empathy from that weren't giving it to me from, I would have the ugly conversation and say, okay, well, I hope you lose somebody that you love and you feel what I'm feeling. And then that's all, you know, and leaders are not quick to admit their own ugly because we don't want that pinned to us. But I do believe most humans will scratch those emotions and those feelings and we will struggle with it and we will deal with it. And so in this topic, I understand big picture saying, okay, a loss for this demographic or group of people, but however, a win for society. I get it. And we could get even further into that topic, but really at the end of the day, you have somebody who was using his First Amendment rights, who didn't believe what you believed, but always continually said that his heart came from a good place and he wanted betterment for people. I really want to challenge you to listen to full clips and conversations of what he's saying and look at the root of what he's saying. Like, what is the motive of his heart and where he's coming from? Because let's also then focus on where he had wished equality for everybody, where he wanted good for anybody and everybody. And he wanted to just do things the right way. And so be careful to not co-sign for scary things. Be careful to not co-sign anything that even were to hint at something deeper and darker. And, you know, something beautiful about the right to have free speech, the First Amendment. I love the First Amendment. Okay. I love it. Thank God we have it. But with that being said, that means that the people that you don't agree with, they have that First Amendment right also. You got to give them room for it. And you should be able to hold your composure in almost any subject. If you feel so strongly in what you believe, hold your composure and let them use their First Amendment right. I'm going to use my First Amendment right. It doesn't get to just be, I want my right when it applies to topics that I like and that I'm comfortable with and that I understand. You got to think about that. And I will not lose my cool in many topics or conversations. I really won't. The biggest topics on my heart that I care about, the largest ones. Even if you disagree with that, I respect the First Amendment in you as I hope you would respect the First Amendment in me. We got to tap into that. So I encourage you to go through this week a little bit differently, pivot a bit. If you are a person of faith, and really if you're not, would you pray about it? Would you say, God, I want to be justice in this situation. I want to be a voice in it. We all are kind of seeking some kind of justice in one way or another. That's human nature. We always want justice. But celebrating murder is not going to take you there. It will not. Celebrating murder does not equal justice. Be kind. Kindness is powerful. Kindness is a powerful voice no matter what you're defending. There is so much power in being kind. It infiltrates ugliness. Be kind. And let's just be open to changing. Maybe we haven't handled this right. Maybe we didn't look at it big picture. Maybe we didn't consider all the elements. And why don't you just pivot a little bit? Like if you've got nobody, I don't think anybody's claimed like I'm perfect. I've mastered it all. I got it figured out. Okay. So you know what that means? We're growing, changing, and learning. Let's do that from each other. I think we can do it. I think things can change. Let's be alert. Let's be smart. And let's do so much like clickbaity stuff. And like, let's try to find full segments. I think we can do it. I believe we can do it. I was way more somber when I recorded this a few couple times, but I've really found some joy in darkness, and I am tuning in to what the enemy's doing. And you will hear me talk about the war over good and evil over and over and over again. I warn you, my brothers and sisters, there is a war of good and evil over your heart, over your family, over your emotions, over your life, over the people in your circle, over your neighborhood, over your soul, over your church, constantly. When you are alert to that and aware of that and keen to it and sharp, it changes the way you navigate every single thing. Now, onto a lighter aspect of this, I'm going to end on a high note, and I don't want the lightheartedness of this conversation to take away from the serious conversation we just had. But have you noticed that this accused decoy shooter, I've said too much.
Wait a minute, I said too much. I think I'm showing
my own personal opinions too much. That the person that the alleged shooter in this incident is in Utah County Jail. I mean, what in the world? That's my jail stomping grounds. That's where season 9 of 60 Days In took place. And they're showing his mugshot and his intake process. And I'm like, well, if I don't know that real well, did you guys peep that at all? And where he got his mugshot, it's exact same place I got my mugshot. And pretty wild if you have seen that. And then Officer Smith, I know you've all seen him. I've gotten so many screenshots that day, that text message where they did the press conference and there was a sheriff standing there right there. That's the main head sheriff that he was on 60 Days In. Boy, has he not had a year. I mean, talk about some big stuff going over there. He thought that brought a lot of attention. He was recognized there. My, now look at that. But hey, looked good as ever. You know that. I'll compliment those sheriffs all day. Looking good there, officer. But my heart really does feel for him because this is quite something to have to carry. And I have no doubt that he's having to work on aspects of this that we have no concept of. So my heart felt for him in that area for sure. But it was the first person who even texted me about it was the owner of the Hopecast Network, the podcast network that we're on right now. And he was like, there's your friend. And I was like, I was wondering. And there he is. So Officer Smith, we are empathizing with you right now. I know you got a lot on your plate. What a situation to carry. Now, with that being said, also, Corey from the show and I talked right away after this happened. And he was like, can you imagine being that man over this figure, Charlie Kirk, in that jail? And he had a really good point about that because it is such a conservative jail. The stereotype that the majority of people in Utah are Mormon is very true and very accurate. Majority of those guards, I asked when I was there, I asked as much as you saw on the show and beyond that, are you Mormon? I'm out here trying to learn while we're there. They are. And odds are they're probably in alignment with Charlie Kirk's values, I would assume. And so they will not take that man lightly. I promise you that he should wish to be in any other jail, less intensely conservative jail. Corey says something good. He goes, they're probably not even feeding him in there. That's right. They're probably retaliating pretty hard on him. I have my own personal story with them retaliating on certain charges. And I'll talk about that another time. Very interesting. Wrong. That's not right. They're not supposed to be doing that. But that's another episode. And I will talk about that too at some point. I will. And I could see them. I'm sure he's isolated because this is such a publicized event. And I have no doubt that there will probably be retaliation from the people in there. That is not the jail. He did it in the wrong place. That is not the jail that man wanted to be in. I'm sure they're starving him. I'm sure. I mean, we would hope that they're not, but I saw it firsthand that they do that in there. And I will talk about that another time. If you saw his mugshot, what's his name? Tyler Robinson. If you saw his mugshot, he's wearing like a big chunky Velcroed vest. And I don't know if you saw that or not, but that's interesting too. They often are yellow and they call it a canary suit, and it's an anti-suicide vest. And that's for two reasons why they would use that. The first being that if you are a high profile case like this, where you are up against murder charges, which like, you know, that then that's going to equal a really bad sentencing, or, you know, often they do it what they're so on alert that that person is going to try to kill themselves, that they, if you are on those kind of charges, you immediately get put on suicide watch, always, every single time. And then also, if you even mention it, like they ask you when you get put into jail, they ask you like, are you feeling suicidal? Do you think you want to hurt yourself? If you answer yes to any of those, they also put you in that suicide suit because they don't trust you with clothing, because they think that you're going to like use that to hurt yourself or harm yourself. Then you also get put into a suicide tank is what they call it. So when you are in jail, I'm going to speak on that jail. It is like you are in pods. You know, they talk about that. So it's like different, like almost like dorm settings within different pods. And there's different kinds of pods, right? There's like men's pods, there's women pods, there's medical pods, there's different pods. And within those pods, there's almost like different like blocks, you know, like cells within that then. So there's like majority of what you're in, then there's different like dormitories, and then within those sometimes there's cells or whatnot. But you get put in your whole own kind of dorm room in that pod, but then everybody can see you because the whole wall is glass, so that the guards can watch and stuff too, but that means the other inmates can see you too. So like we would be in a pod with four kind of dorms with glass in the front, so we could all see into each other's dorms, but you're only allowed in your dorm, and then you're released at different times for different things. But you can always see the people in the suicide pod, and they're in there by themselves. They're not allowed to have anything, not even a spoon. And to be fair, that nasty spoon in there, remind me to talk about the spoon on here, because that spoon was the grossest part of my entire experience in there. It was the same disgusting spoon. It'd be laying all over the floor, hair and fuzz and lint all over it. They would get mixed up whose spoon was what. It was like a plastic spoon. They would get mixed up whose was whose, and they would use each other's, and nowhere to wash it, no soap to wash it, a dried food. Blah, 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 blah. I hated that spoon. But they won't even get silverware in there, so they'll give them, they call them suicide spoons, and I actually asked for a few of those because I hated the real spoon. And they're like cardboard fold out spoons. Like they don't even get silverware, and they have no furniture. They don't even have a bed. All they give them, and you can't even have blankets because they're scared you're going to use that to harm yourself. You kind of get like this thing on the floor. It's like a half cup. It almost looks like a upside down tortoise shell. And then I think it has padding in the bottom of it. It's almost like a cradle, I guess you could say. And they can sleep in that in their suicide vest, and they're not allowed to do anything. And then I'm not even sure they really get to leave. I think they can be escorted and they can walk alone and with somebody, I think like once a day, and they'll get to go outside in the yard for a couple, like an hour, I think. And we would watch them do that too. It's one of the darkest things I've ever seen in my life. It's hard to watch a human that is knowingly on suicide watch be in like a fishbowl setting with nothing to do, and to know that they're already at turmoil in their head, and then to watch them hate it even more. It's dehumanizing to see them like that. It was one of the things that shocked me the most to be on display. It was hard to see that. And so that's why Tyler Robinson is wearing that in that picture. So very interesting, very, very interesting to have kind of like a little bit of intel on that situation with him, and for him to be in such familiar grounds. It's just made this a little bit interesting. I don't know. So anyway, that was a lighter note to end on. I don't want to take away the severity of anything, but I would hope that we could all kind of shift our narrative in this a little bit. And we are thinking of you, Mike Smith. I have lots of things I would love to talk to him about, but that can be on pause because you have way other priorities right now. So thank you for joining this. Thank you for listening today. And I pray that you don't leave with an offended heart. I hope that you wouldn't. Okay, I'm going to pause for a second and just make sure I covered everything. I'm proud of us for having important conversations. Thanks for sticking through the whole thing. And reach out to me, message me on what you think. And if any of this spoke to you, I would love to talk more about this and I want to do it from a good place. So you can find me on most social handles, but I'm on Instagram probably the most. Find me at Nina Palmer, Texas, all one word, and reach out to me. Let me know what you think about the episode. I'm going to be doing some polls. Let me know if you want to continue on with this topic also, if it's valuable to you as you try to navigate the layered complexity of this at hand. I love you guys. Do me a favor, share this episode with somebody that you think would get something out of it, or a new podcast. And anytime you share it, it really helps us. Get in prayer. Don't be offended. Don't be shocked when people are offended. And stay level-headed. Be sweet. Be kind. You're fine. You're okay. And you can handle diversity. We will be back here every Monday. And I look forward to talking to y'all again. We have some good guests in the future. And next episode, we're going to talk more about our Better Person Project. We will see you soon, friend. Bye.